ॐ ज्ञानतिमिरन्नस्य ज्ञानञ्जनाशलाकाया चक्षुरुन्मीलितं येन तस्मै श्रीगुरवे नमः।
ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय।
ॐ
नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय।
We're
reading from the Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 4. Is it lined up? Which verse is it? 22. Canto 4, Chapter 8, text number 22. Dhruva Maharaj leaves home. Tamiva vatshastraya britya vatsalam mumukshubhir mrigya padhabcha paditim ananya bhave nijadharma bhavite manasyavastapya bhajasva purusham. I'll give the word for word, you can please repeat. Tam him eva also Vatsa, my dear boy, Ashraya, take shelter. Britya Vatsalam, of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is very kind to his devotees. Mumukshabihi, also by persons desiring liberation. Mrigya, to be sought. Pada abja, lotus feet. Padatim, system. Ananya bhave, in an unflinching situation. Nijadharma bhavite, being situated in one's original constitutional position. Manasi, unto the mind. Avastapya, placing. Bhajasva, go on executing devotional service. Purusham, the Supreme Person. The translation. My dear boy, you also should take shelter of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is very kind to his devotees. Persons seeking liberation from the cycle of birth and death always take shelter of the lotus feet of the Lord in devotional service. Becoming purified by executing your allotted occupation, just situate the Supreme Personality of Godhead in your heart, and without deviating for a moment, engage always in his service. Please repeat. My dear boy, you also should take shelter of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is very kind to his devotees. Persons seeking liberation from the cycle of birth and death always take shelter of the lotus feet of the Lord in devotional service. Becoming purified by executing your allotted occupation, just situate the Supreme Personality of Godhead in your heart. And without deviating for a moment, engage always in his service. Purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada Ki, the system of Bhakti Yoga described by Queen Suniti to her son is the standard way of God realization. Everyone can continue in his constitutional occupational duties and at the same time keep the Supreme Personality of Godhead within his heart. This was also instructed by the Lord Himself to Arjuna in Bhagavad Gita. Go on fighting, but keep me within your mind. That should be the motto of every honest person seeking perfection in Krishna consciousness. In this connection, Queen Suniti advised her son that the Supreme Personality of Godhead is known as Brityavatsala. Known as what?
Brityavatsala.
Which indicates that he is very kind to his devotees. She said, "You came to me crying, having been insulted by your stepmother, but I am unable to do any good for you. But Krishna is so kind to his devotees that if you go to him, then the combined kindness of millions of mothers like me will be surpassed by his affectionate and tender dealings. When everyone else fails to mitigate one's misery, Krishna is able to help the devotee." When Queen Suniti also stressed that the process of approaching the Supreme Personality of Godhead is not easy, but is sought after by great sages who are very advanced in spiritual realization. Queen Suniti also indicated by her instruction that Dhruva Maharaj was only a small child, 5 years old, and it was not possible for him to purify himself by the way of karmakanda. But by the process of bhakti yoga, even a child less than 5 years old, or anyone of any age, can be purified. That is the special significance of bhakti yoga. Therefore, she advised him not to accept worship of the demigods or any other process, but simply to take to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and the result would be all perfection. As soon as one places the Supreme Personality of Godhead within one's heart, everything becomes easy and successful. So this is an astounding first line, very helpful in the purport, first line. The system of bhakti yoga described by Queen Suniti to her son is the standard way of God realization. And this is Dhruva Maharaj's mother speaking to him after he'd become extremely distraught because of being rejected by his own father. He had one day come into the chambers where his father was sitting and enjoying the company of his favorite queen, Suruchi, who is not Dhruva's biological mother, stepmother. And Suruchi's son, Uttama, was sitting on the lap of Dhruva's father. And naturally, as a little boy, he wanted the affection of his father also. So he attempted to sit up on his father's lap as well. But there was some politics going on. And Suruchi, who was the king's favorite queen, took exception to Dhruva getting up onto the lap of the king and said some words out loud that discouraged him from sitting up there. And because the king was also controlled by this queen because of his inordinate affection for her, he went along with it. He didn't let Dhruva get up on his lap. And Dhruva, as is pointed out in the text, is a Kshatriya. He has a certain nature by birth, which is very fiery. Even as a five-year-old boy, this came to bear when he was prevented from sitting on the lap of his father. And he became extremely angry, and hot tears came from his eyes. He ran to his mother, Suniti. And by the time he got there, she had already heard through the palace network what had happened. And this little Kshatriya child, Dhruva, came running in, and tears streaming from his eyes, and took shelter of his mother. "What should I do?" He wanted revenge. He wanted to rectify this situation through revenge. And his mother then gave him this standard advice. I'll read the line again because it's so sweet and helpful. The system of bhakti yoga described by Queen Suniti to her son is the standard way of God realization. It's always good if you can get the standard process, as then you can just follow it. In the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says, "Ye me matam idam nityam anutishtanti manava." This is 331, in which Krishna says that if you just follow my instruction, my standard instruction, then you'll be fine. But if you become envious and don't follow it, then you'll be lost. He says also later in the 18th chapter that if you listen for my instruction very carefully and you follow it, then you'll be properly guided. But if you don't, then you'll be misguided in this world very easily. So having the standard instruction is very important. And where is it coming from? It's coming from his mother. And again, she says in this verse, "My dear boy, you also should take shelter of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is very kind to his devotees. Persons seeking liberation from the cycle of birth and death always take shelter of the lotus feet of the Lord in devotional service. Becoming purified by executing your allotted occupation, just situate the Supreme Personality of Godhead in your heart, and without deviating for a moment, engage in his service." So, what is the standard method for attaining Krishna? It's to surrender to him. Find out what his instruction is, find out what the standard process is, and then adhere to it to the best of one's ability. And then Krishna will reciprocate from within and from without. He gives direction from within the heart as the Supersoul, as he says in the Bhagavad Gita in several places, that he's there with every living entity and he gives instruction how to come to him. For instance, in the 10th chapter of the Gita, Krishna says, "Tesham satata yuktanam bhajatam prittipurvakam dadami buddhi yogam tam yenamam upayanti te." That when someone worships me with love, then I give the intelligence by which that person can come to me. And he also says, "Ishvara sarvabhutanam hridaya sharajuna tishtati brahmayan sarvabhutani yantra rudrani mayaya." That I accompany every living entity within their physical body, this yantra. He mentions the body is like a machine. And he says, I'm there with every living entity. As the living entities go about their business in this world, Krishna's there. In the 13th chapter, he's described as the overseer and the permitter. And in the 15th chapter of the Gita, Krishna says, "Sarvasya chaham ridisani vishto matak smitir gyanam apohanam cha vadaishcha sarvira hameva vejo vedanta kridveda videva chaham." That he is the source of remembrance, knowledge, and forgetfulness. And that he again says, I'm there within the heart. So from within, he gives instruction to a sincere person who's trying. And at this point, Suniti is just giving a very general but standard understanding of how to attain Krishna. And that is by surrendering to him. Dedicate yourself to him. So then Prabhupada goes on to say, "Everyone can continue in his constitutional occupational duties and at the same time keep the Supreme Personality of Godhead within his heart." So, obviously, as we just stated, the Supreme Personality of Godhead is already within our heart. So what does he mean to keep the Supreme Personality of Godhead within one's heart? It means to become conscious of him. And here, he says, to do your occupational duty and at the same time keep him in your heart, which means to do what you have to do in the world, but at the same time remember Krishna. And this is an instruction that Krishna gives also in the 8th chapter of the Bhagavad Gita. How does it start? Say again. "Tasmat sarveshu kaleshu mama nusmara yudhyacha mayarpita mano buddhir mami vaishyasya samshrayaha." And that is that he's saying, therefore, which is a follow-up, following the verses he just gave, which is to say that it's very important what happens to you at the end of life, where your consciousness is placed. He had said that whatever you remember at the time that you leave your body, you will attain without fail, whatever your bhava is, your overall feeling. And then he says, therefore, during this lifetime, you should do your work. And in this case, he's talking to Arjuna. He's telling him to fight. And at the same time, remember me, he says. And in his purport, Srila Prabhupada says that this means that you should do what you have to do in the world, but at the same time, chant Hare Krishna. Go on chanting Hare Krishna. It's a given that we have to work in the material world. There are obligations that we have just by having a material body. Even sannyasi has to carry around a little water pot to collect a few little drops of water every day and stay alive. Everyone, according to their psychophysiological nature, has to interact with the world in a certain way. And in bhakti, that's not a prohibition. And actually, the Sri Upanishad says that while engaging in the world and at the same time performing bhakti, one gets an advantage. Vidyam cha vidyam chayas tadvedo bayam saha avidyayam rutum tirtva vidyayam rutum ashnute. Only one who can learn the process of transcendental knowledge and that of nescience side by side can transcend the influence of repeated birth and death and enjoy the full blessings of immortality. So while one's working in the material world and at the same time doing what Suniti is suggesting here as the standard process, which is to keep Krishna within one's heart, then one actually gets even more insight into the purpose of life, because there are confounding situations that one might run into in the course of one's everyday life. Do you agree with that? But only a little bit, right? And it doesn't happen very often. It happens more often than one might like. Dilemmas, confounding situations. And this is definitely a confounding situation for Dhruva Maharaj. For Dhruva, it's not even a Maharaj yet. Well, he's the future Maharaj. He's a little boy. But a very frustrating situation for him. And this is just such simple and lovely instruction that his mother gives, and that's just take shelter of Krishna. There's a letter to Jayananda Prabhu, one of the very famous devotees of our ISKCON movement, who attained the level of sainthood just by dedicating himself to this instruction, which is just work for Krishna and remember Krishna. Just do the standard process. That's what he did. Standard process. And Prabhupada had written in one letter, I don't know what Jayananda Prabhu wrote to Prabhupada, but Prabhupada wrote back and said, it's the same old answer, chant Hare Krishna. That's standard. And coming back to standards, again and again, daily, hour by hour, moment by moment, is a good idea. There are some standards that one can adhere to that, along with one's involvement in material life, will bring one to the process of perfection, to the point of perfection in this life. So, as we are facing difficulties and dilemmas in our life, if we take Krishna's instructions again and again and surrender to him in that whatever situation we're in, then we'll find that we get more and more faith in the process of Krishna consciousness. Seeing how Krishna helps us through the various situations in our life, and one of the ways in which that happens is, for instance, in the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says, yam hina vyatyante te purusham purusharshabha samadukha sukham dhiram somritat vayakalpate. He gives a standard of by which one can attain another standard, through which one can attain perfection. And he says that, can we see the verse? This is in the Bhagavad Gita, which chapter is it in? 2. And do you know which verse? Okay. Yam hinavyate antete purusham purusharshapa samaduka sukham tiram somritatvaya kalpate means that if one remains steady in the happiness and distress and is patient, is dhira, it doesn't overly doesn't respond in ways that disturb one's mind even more. O best among men, Arjuna, 2:15, the person who is not disturbed by happiness and distress and is steady in both is certainly eligible for liberation. Just not being disturbed by happiness and distress, by continuing with one's service, especially by going on with the chanting of Hare Krishna, despite the fact that there are dilemmas, and taking the standard process again and again to solve one's problems, which is to take shelter of Krishna. So this is the instruction that Suniti is giving, and we can see the result. As the story goes on, Dhruva takes this instruction to heart, and this is an important aspect of devotional service, is to take the instruction to heart. And because of that, he went off into the forest, because his mother suggests to him that great sages go to the forest and they perform austerities in order to reach the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So Dhruva then takes the instruction to heart and he goes off to perform or actually just to find God. He doesn't even know how to perform the process yet. So on the way there, he meets Narada Muni. And as we'll find in the next few verses that we'll see over the next couple days, Narada Muni overheard the conversation that Dhruva had with his mother, and then he intercepted Dhruva on his way to the forest. So Prabhupada then asked the question, how did he overhear the conversation? Because he wasn't there. He wasn't present at that time. And Prabhupada says, because Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, he's within everyone's heart. And he informs the devotees, the representatives, his representatives in this world, where there are sincere people who are looking for the truth. And then he connects the two of them. And this is how Dhruva and Narada Muni became connected. Narada became his spiritual master. And so, here's the solution to all one's problems, is to take the standard process, surrender to Krishna, and then just try with sincere feeling and determination, and then Krishna will make the arrangement, because he's within everyone's heart. He'll make arrangements, for instance, for one to meet the devotees, the representative of the Lord. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said that living entities are wandering throughout the universe, and when they meet a devotee physician who carries around a little black bag, and inside the bag, Mahaprabhu said he's got two things. One is instructions, and the other is hymns. Takes out the instructions and hymns. Here, take this. I was watching the other night when we had a mini festival at the Lytton Plaza down in Palo Alto, where we have Harinam Sankirtan accompanied by some booths where we introduce the process of mantra meditation, and we have a book table and distribution of prasadam and things like that. And I was watching how people were walking up and down the street looking for something. They were trying to celebrate life in different ways. There are restaurants and places where you can get a nice cold sarsaparilla up and down the street. And then when they came across the chanting and they saw the devotees, I noticed how some of the devotees were meeting people and then handing them a literature, like Sri Upanishad or the Perfection of Yoga. And it felt very satisfying to see how there's living entities who are looking in all the wrong places to try to find some satisfaction, and then to finally have in their hand some clear direction, standard process by which they can look in, they can comprehend it, and then they can make a free choice that, yes, I'll do this, I'll take the standard process. And this Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was said is the way people come in contact with Krishna, through the devotees who go out into the world and they meet people and they give out this, they give the instructions, and then they also say, here, take these mantras, these hymns, and you practice this, standard process. Prabhupada told Jayananda, it's the same old answer, chant Hare Krishna. And so if one does that, then one will come to see Krishna face to face. And all the various dilemmas in one's life can be overcome just by this standard process that was taught by Suniti. And it doesn't require that one is highly learned. It also doesn't require any extra paraphernalia. In fact, we're born with the requisite paraphernalia. You get a perfectly good set of ears if you check them out, see if they're still there. Yep. They protrude from the side of your head like a little satellite dish. And they have little convolutions in them to catch the sound. And if you stop them up a little bit, it blocks the sound a little bit. They're perfectly designed just to catch sound. And the Vedas say, anavritti shabdat, that if you just take in the right sound vibration, then you'll become uncovered and all your problems will be solved. It's a standard process. And so that's what Narada Muni, when he met little Dhruva, taught him. So this spiritual life is quite a mysterious process. And it happens when one develops an intense desire within one's heart to actually solve the problems of life. And for one reason or another, if one gets this intense feeling that I'm going to reach God no matter what, it becomes one's priority in life. Then Krishna moves heaven and earth to facilitate us. Dhruva just happened to want something in return, but that doesn't even matter. If your desire is pointed towards the Supreme Personality of Godhead, that the result will be auspicious and progressive, because Krishna is so kind. And if you're trying, then he'll reciprocate. So Dhruva was extremely determined. And a friend of mine once said, if you want a spiritual master like Narada Muni, you should have the determination of Dhruva Maharaj. Just try to study what his determination was. Try to have the same kind of determination. And if you have that, then Krishna will give you that kind of guidance, because he reciprocates. As he says in the Bhagavad Gita, yeyitam mam prapadyante tams tataiva bhajamyaham. This is a beautiful way to understand Krishna in our daily lives. He reciprocates, he says, according to our surrender. So one might try this. One might say, then let me then just surrender to Krishna and completely give myself to the standard process. A very elevated godbrother of mine, who I respect very much and is respected all over the world, told me that he had been practicing devotional service for many years and he wasn't quite satisfied with the results. So then he decided that it was up to him to review the standard process and then apply it with a little more gusto. And this is kind of an exciting prospect, because that's also available to anybody in the world, that one might reassess one's own practice at any time and then say, okay, I'll make it a little more focused or intense. Wouldn't that be possible if you decided that that's what you'd like to do? Madhuripura thinks so. He's shaking his head, yes. So he told me that then he reviewed the standard process and he analyzed that especially chanting Hare Krishna was a vital aspect. And one can study these literatures. There's the Srimad Bhagavatam, Chaitanya Charitamrita. What else? Bhagavad Gita. Anything else? Nectar Devotion. Light of the Bhagavat. There are many books, and if you go through them very carefully, meticulously, you'll hear again and again the standard process. And also, even Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's teachings, he'll give many options for practicing devotional service. For instance, there are 64 items, 64 angas, these limbs of devotional service. And then he'll say, out of those, there are five that are particularly important. And of those five, one is particularly important. Through this one, you can achieve all the others. So this godbrother of mine did this, and he analyzed it, and he said, chanting Hare Krishna is very important. It's the most important process. So then what he did was he rededicated himself to the standard process. And he said, what I'm going to do, my strategy is going to be that I'm going to be meticulous about my japa and my chanting. This will become the focus of my day, each day. I'll make this the most important point. And this, according to what we're hearing here, this could be a winning strategy. Instead of trying to adjust all the different other aspects of my life, I might look at what Krishna and all the great acharyas say is the way in which one can actually achieve success in life, and I might just realign my priorities. And that's a nice thing about being human, is any old day of the week you can just realign your priorities and nobody can stop you. That's why it's nice to be a free living entity. That's the nicest aspect of it. You can say, I don't like the way things are going, so I'm going to realign my priorities. Now, if you then realign them according to the instructions that Krishna himself gives and which are emphasized by the great acharyas, then there's, I would say, 100% likelihood that you would then feel the difference. Do you agree? To what degree do you agree? 100%? Vinod? Which percentage? 110%. So I find this opening passage to Dhruva Maharaj's saga to be extremely inspiring. He's a little boy, means he doesn't have high education, he doesn't have anything really, except he received an instruction. And it just happens that it was the standard instruction. And that's important. If you get that, and then by one means or another, you attach yourself to that standard instruction and say, I'm going to claw, bite, scratch, whatever I have to do to hold on to that standard instruction to the best of my ability. You might write it down on the back of your hand, or you might, I don't know, what are some of the other ways that you would remember to do that? Yes? Put it on your phone. You might put it on your phone, then you'd see it there regularly. Especially if you look at your phone a lot and it just said, chant Hare Krishna. Don't look at me, look at your bead bag. What are you looking at me for? I don't have any answers, but the japa does. And it's actually a miracle that if you have one good japa session, you can change your whole life. And there's a mystery in that Krishna is actually present in his name. There's a mystery in it that by following a standard process rather than trying to cutting short the standard process for other kinds of ideas that might be floating around the universe. It's just a life-changing kind of system to find out what Krishna wants, what he advises, and then just organize one's life around that principle so that one can do that. Now that may sound overly simple. How much time do we have? It's 7:30. Is the class over now? summer, so we'll be up all night. Okay. So a couple of points to have the kind of determination that one might need in order to do this. Because one might think, like, I really want to do this, and then your mind later on might say, what'd you agree to that for? What'd you go and agree to the standard process? We want to try other processes. After all, there's so many other different things that I would like to try, the mind might say. And so, these are a few points, solidified points for attaining determination. Okay? Should I continue? All right. The first one is to work from your natural strength. And here I have a quotation from the Bhagavatam 1.6.26. This just happens to be Narada Muni himself, who became spiritual master of Dhruva later on. That's kind of interesting. To hear the progress that Narada made when he was young and becoming a staunch devotee. So he's recalling to his disciple Vyasadeva, and he says, thus I began to chant the holy name and fame of the Lord by repeated recitation, ignoring all the formalities of the material world. Such chanting and remembering of the transcendental pastimes of the Lord are all benedictory. What are they? So doing, I traveled all over the earth fully satisfied and free from pride and envy. And here's Prabhupada's purport. The life of a sincere devotee of the Lord is thus explained in a nutshell by Narada Muni by his personal example. Such a devotee, after his initiation by the Lord or his bona fide representative, takes very seriously chanting of the glories of the Lord and traveling all over the world so that others may also hear the glories of the Lord. Such devotees have no desire for material gain. They are conducted by one single desire to go back to Godhead. This awaits them in due course on quitting the material body because they have the highest aim of life, going back to Godhead. They are never envious of anyone, nor are they proud of being eligible to go back to Godhead. Their only business is to chant and remember the holy name, fame, and pastimes of the Lord, and according to their personal capacity, to distribute the message for others' welfare without motive of material gain. So I'm just bringing light to this personal capacity idea, which is also something Krishna brings up in the 11th canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam, when he says, Sway Sway Adhikariya Nishta Sagunan Parikirtita. And that is that if you do the best you can with what you have right now, according to your qualification, he says, that's a good quality. Vipariyat Doshasyat. And the opposite is true. If you try to do more than you're qualified for, that just because you're making a show doesn't mean that you're actually making more advancement, and it's actually a fault. So you can feel free to do the best you can with the level of advancement that you're at right now, and then you'll be blessed with advancement. Of course, it's also important not to do less than you're qualified to do. And it's definitely not okay to claim that you're permanently unqualified to make advancement. Because this is something that comes up also. Someone might say, I'm permanently unqualified to make advancement in devotional service, or everybody else in the world's permanently unqualified to make advancement in devotional service. That's not true. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says, krame krame, step by step, if you chant Hare Krishna very carefully and sincerely, then you'll come from the lowest position to the highest position. He says, from a Kanishtha Adhikari, you can become a Madhyama Adhikari step by step just by following the standard process. So, one should then not become overwhelmed by what other people are doing in devotional service and think, well, why can't I be like them? Just be like you are and do what you can with the kind of situation you're in and the kind of qualification you have now, but do it sincerely and do it according to the standard process, and then Krishna will bless you with advancement. So this helps in determination, because one of the ways in which I may become overwhelmed and lose my determination is because I think I'm permanently unqualified or everybody else is better than me, or there may be a myriad of other reasons. So if you keep in mind that you're perfectly fine the way you are, well, you're not perfect, you are, I'm talking about myself. I'm not perfectly fine the way I am, but it's perfectly okay to act do devotional service according to my personal capacity at the present time, and then I will make advancement in devotional service. So this can give one some a modicum of determination. And just as a point, in the Transcendental Diary about, written by Hari Sari, he mentions that a list that he saw Prabhupada draw up of priorities, and it goes like this: 1, health; 2, sadhana; 3, service; and 4, reading. And it means that we have various obligations that we have to take care of in our life. So what are the 4? Health, sadhana, service, and reading. Health, sadhana, service, and reading. And these are very standard things, and everyone has to take care of these 4 things. And if you line them up and you attend to them on a regular daily basis in a steady mode, then you'll gradually develop a determination to go on in devotional service. And if you do the best that you can with what you have every day, then you'll advance and you'll feel the advancement for yourself. There are 9 other items that ways in which to position oneself so that one gains determination, but that's the first one. And now I'd just like to take some reflections. Anything that you heard so far that stuck in your mind? Yes. Yes. He said that, I'll read it. She said, "You came to me crying, having been insulted by your stepmother, but I am unable to do any good for you. But Krishna is so kind to his devotees that if you go to him, then the combined kindness of millions of mothers like me will be surpassed by his affectionate and tender dealings. When everyone else fails to mitigate one's misery, Krishna is able to help the devotee." So, Krishna says in the Gita that he's the best friend of all living entities. Bhoktaram yagatapasam sarvaloka maheshwaram suridam sarvabhutanam. He's the best friend of all living entities. And his name is also Vanchatita, which means that Krishna fulfills one's desires more than one could imagine oneself. And definitely, he does a better job of it than I would do. By arranging my life in a certain way, I may try to attain happiness, but because of lack of insight, as a friend of mine said once, that we're in a chess match with Krishna, and he's about 1 billion moves ahead. So who knows better, me or Krishna? And understanding also that Krishna's desire is to do the best for me, that he's unlimitedly compassionate. And if one simply even accepts this theory theoretically and takes it to heart in that way, then one takes shelter of that kind nature of Krishna. The opposite is the suspicious mind. In the material world, there's a way in which I may think that God's out to get me. that there's that the things that are happening to me are because he's maliciously punishing me for something I didn't do. But if one could come to the point of understanding that Krishna is not only the perfect moral agent, in other words, he doesn't arrange the world in such a way that I get more than I deserve or less than I deserve. It's perfectly balanced. It's working in a uniform way. But not only that, he's also unlimitedly compassionate. That is greatly encouraging in the process of surrender. Thank you for bringing it up. What else? Yes. 1, 2. Yeah, it makes a lot of sense. Well, you really don't have to go very far. In fact, you don't have to go anywhere. Bhaktivedanta Thakur sings, Grihe Thako, Vani Thako, Shadahari Bali Thako. That if you live in the forest or you live in a house, it doesn't matter. It's inconsequential. The main point is the intense desire that you're cultivating within your heart. I once gave a class that was a heartfelt class because it was actually from a realization that I'd had, and I'll just represent what I said in that class in Mayapur once, was that for some reason, I was deeply affected when the Malaysian Airlines flight was lost. That might have been five or, as far as I know, it was 50 years ago, but maybe it was 5 years ago. Was it? Like 5, 10 years ago? 5 years, whatever, it doesn't matter. Anyway, there was a Malaysian airline flight, and somehow or other, and I don't think anybody even knows to this day, as far as I know, that it went off course. It just went off it went off the radar. No one could find it. And that really bothered me for some reason. I'm sure it really bothered the relatives too. And I'm sure it bothered the people that were on the plane even more. I mean, it's a horrible thing to be lost. I once got lost in Tokyo when I first went there. I was following a river, and then I followed the river back, but it was a different river, and I was like, where am I? And I couldn't express myself properly, and it was actually very, being lost is kind of scary, actually, because there's a way in which I always consider, oh, I know where I am, I know who I am, and everything like that. And most of that is just contrived. I really don't know. Anyway, this airline was lost, and it was on the news everywhere. It caught my attention, and I kept checking back to see, did they find it? And they couldn't find it. There's supposed to be a little transponder inside. There is a transponder in every plane. It's law. And when the plane goes down, there's a battery in there that keeps that transponder pinging. An electronic ping comes out from that for at least a few days so that they can find it by satellite and say, okay, here it is, it's over here, it's over here, and then they go find it, and if there's survivors, they pick them up. But they couldn't hear anything, nothing, no sound whatsoever. And so nobody knew what it was, and they spent millions of dollars looking and they couldn't find it. So then I was chanting japa one day and I was thinking how I'm lost in the material world. I don't know how I got here exactly and I really don't know where I'm going. And I was thinking, I better turn my transponder on. And then I was thinking of a lot of the instructions about chanting and how Krishna responds to, you know, the loud he had responded to the loud cries of Advaitacharya because they were so sincere. And the Prabhupada said, you have to cry like a baby for its mother, and so forth. And I was thinking, yeah, then my problem is I haven't had my transponder on. Krishna can't find me down here. And so we just, one of the main points in this story is that Dhruva Maharaj's transponder was on. He wanted to find God. That was the only thing he wanted. He didn't care. I mean, he wanted to ask God for something, but that was his only purpose. And in the Gita, Krishna says, this is the secret. Vyavasayatmika budhir, ekeha kuru nandana. He said, just forget everything else. This is an aspect of surrender. Say, everyone says, here, take this, take that, get sick, get well, hang around an inkwell. There's all kinds of things you can do in this world. I mean, unlimited things you can do. But no, ekeha kuru nandana, one thing, just do this one thing, forget all the other stuff. That's what Dhruva Maharaj had, complete focus on that's all I want. I don't want anything else. And if you can come to that point, then you don't need anything else. Shraddha shabde vishvas kahe sudhida nishchoy Krishna bhakti kole sarva karma krita hoy. Faith means that you're getting a mature understanding, a realization that if I just surrender to Krishna and I just do bhakti, then everything else is taken care of. I don't have to worry about these other things. So you can be sitting anywhere. It doesn't matter where you are. If you turn your transponder on and you sincerely desire to reach God, He comes and finds you. And I've seen it myself. Going on Sankirtan, you get to be an instrument of this. You know, going up some old creaky staircase, like we were at this Vietnamese mall and it had three levels. Outdoor mall, and half of the stores were closed on the second, and definitely almost all of them were closed on the third level. For some reason, I kept thinking, I gotta get that third floor. We had about 17 devotees. We were going around, going in people's shops with 17 devotees. So we went up, we all tromped up those stairs, and we kept going down. All the stores were closed, and we got to the very end, and there was some little shop way in the back, and we went in there, and the lady was so surprised to see us, because nobody ever came up there. Shri Shri Radha Govindaji Ki Jai. And the end result was that she bought a Bhagavad Gita, she chanted Hare Krishna, she took some Krishna prasad, and when we walked out of there, we were just thinking, how else would she have come in contact unless Krishna had sent a whole troop of devotees up there? And so Krishna knows where we are, especially when we turn our trans. He always knows where we are. But this is what this means in the verse. It says you should always keep Krishna in your heart. It means you should always keep that desire foremost that I have to contact Krishna and He'll reach out no matter where you are. Who else? Yes. And that's the nice thing about being a human. You can reevaluate any old day of the week. In fact, this is one of the success formulas that so-called success gurus put out all the time, and that is that reevaluate your life every day. Take a look. Just don't drift. Reevaluate, look and see, and count carefully. How am I doing? How can I do better today? And if you apply that to devotional service, you'll have a very focused and powerful practice. Reevaluate. Don't assume that you're doing great. Try to find out ways that you can do better. Yes? The what? Can you hold that right up here?
Non-liberal, animistic sort of views. And he puts that in his report spot. But this lesson is a real life lesson. It seems like that I'm being pushed towards that by Prabhupada to set aside these the judgments of others and the structure of society and things that are holding us back or the past that we can't remember. He says, do that, really forward like. But this lesson is much more subtle, and it's just saying, well, you're going to experience this political separation and break away from the pride of this pile of papers that you've got to read, that none of it makes any sense in your daily life. And the reality of it has to come from the mother. And that never occurred to me from Bobby Bob. Because what I was talking about, that made me mad. You know? And it wasn't until my mother, until my dad pushed me away, and my mother started to, sort of reap the benefits of me being wondering about. Then I realized, well, all that paperwork and all that stuff that I've been doing is just, it has meaning, but without Krishna, it's so weird.
Yeah, all that paperwork can go away in an instant. Sean Penn, he's a famous actor. His house in Malibu burned down during the big Malibu fire that happened about 20 years ago. And I heard him on an interview, and the interviewer asked him, so your house burned down and you lost everything, so how do you feel? And he said, well, you know all those letters you're supposed to write back to somebody? And you know all the bills, like you're waiting to pay, and there's all kinds of little things you collected and you're not sure what to do with them anymore? And the interviewer said, yes, and he goes, I don't have that anymore. Anyway, there's a case that's made throughout the Bhagavad Gita and the Srimad Bhagavatam that obviously you have to attend to things in this world, but you have to see that you don't do it in such a way that you become distracted from your spiritual life. And Prabhupada mentions that in his purport today, that you do your occupational duty, do your duty according to your capacity and what you have to do, but don't lose the standard practice. Continue that. And at a certain time in your life, you'll have more and more opportunity to give your attention towards devotional service and nothing else. Those other things will definitely go away one way or the other. Thank you. Hare Krishna. Go Premanande Haribo. Nitai Gora Haribo. 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 Nitai Gora Haribo. Nitai Gora Haribo. 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 Nitai Gora Haribo. Marman, Natari Armarman, Natari Armarman, Natari Armarman, hey, Natari Armarman, Natari Armarman, Natari Armarman, Natari Armarman.